Raul Torres was a custodian in South Central Los Angeles. He was married to his wife for 45 years. They had a nice little modest house there on a corner lot. Sadly, she died unexpectedly one evening. Soon after that, Raul quit his job as a custodian. He became even more involved in his church, and he took to spending more time on his front porch. He and his wife would often sit on their front porch and kind of look out into their yard. He eventually came up with the idea to turn that corner lot into a memorial garden for his wife. He planted fruits and vegetables and herbs and flowers, and he had a special section of her favorite flower, the rose, and different varieties of roses. So it became a memorial to her, but also it gave his life a great deal of purpose. He got up one morning, he opened the door, he went out into the garden, and he looked at the roses, and he noticed that one of them had been destroyed, one of the rose bushes, and it looked as if someone had taken a bat or something and just whacked it. He cleaned it up. A couple days later, he goes out into the garden, another rose bush, destroyed. A few days later, he goes out, yet another rose bush, destroyed. He's upset. He thinks about who could possibly be doing this. He thinks perhaps it's one of the gangs that kind of is in that community, in that neighborhood. So he decides to do something. He decides to kind of sit vigil by his living room window and just watch. Let's see if he can see who's doing this. Sits there during the day, through the night. One morning, he notices a young man walking up the street, a boy, really. And he's walking with a limp, and he's walking with a cane. And he gets to that corner lot, and he comes in, and he takes that cane, he goes over to the rose bush, and he just... And he looks up into the window, and there's Raul sitting there, and their eyes lock. And he quickly kind of leaves and goes away. And Raul would say, you know, my first instinct, what I really wanted to do was chase him down and yell at him. He said, then I thought about calling the police and having them arrest him. But Raul didn't do either of those things, because he had another idea. And the more he thought about it, the more he thought, I think I recognize that young man. I think he's that 10-year-old from down the street whose father has been away for most of his life, whose brother is in prison because of his involvement in a gang. And because of that, there was a drive-by shooting, and this young man was shot in the leg, which is why he walks with a limp and has a cane. So Raul had another idea. He waited until school was out, and here comes this boy down the street, and he meets him. And the kid's very defiant and angry. Like, I didn't do anything. Well, I have a question for you. I want to ask you something. I'm looking for someone to help me in my garden, kind of watch over my garden, kind of help me tend that garden. And I'm wondering if you would do that. I don't know anything about gardening, man. What? It's okay. Just like, will you give it a shot? Like maybe a week? Like I'll pay you? And would you even like maybe come back Saturday? Would you believe that boy came back on Saturday? Would you believe that he spent the entire day on Saturday with Raul tending that garden? Would you believe that? They picked ripe tomatoes. They planted some new rose bushes. They pulled some lemons off, made lemonade. That young man said, best lemonade I've ever had. Would you believe that? Would you believe from that point until today, that garden in that corner lot in South Central Los Angeles is still this beautiful garden? Would you believe that that young boy whose name is James Worthington has remained in that community, serving in that neighborhood, working with youth in after-school programs, working with youth who are involved in gangs, saying there's a different way, there's a better way. Would you believe that? I don't know how many people at the end of Raul's life would have considered him a great man. I'm not sure if Raul would have considered himself a great man. James Worthington considers him a great man. I have a feeling that you haven't heard that story. You might consider him a great man. Our gospel today gets into a number of different things. Okay, just like last week, Jesus says to his guys, like, okay, here's the path that I'm on. This is where it's going. And they don't understand. Maybe they don't want to understand. They also don't understand greatness, according to Jesus. And I just kind of sense like they're going along and Jesus is there and his disciples, and he kind of overhears them, you know, with their arguing about who's the best, who's the greatest, and he kind of goes, you know what, at the right time, I'm going to go there with them. At the right time, we'll have that conversation. And then they have that conversation. Last, first, what? What? You know, now I'm going to admit to something, you all. I'm a big Will Ferrell fan. Comedian, actor. Man, I like his movie. I'm owning it. Okay, one of my favorites, y'all. And part of this has to do with, like, this is the family and culture. I grew up in a NASCAR-loving group of people, y'all. So one of my favorites is this movie called Talladega Nights. Don't judge me too much. I do want to say, though, there is some really, really good theology in Talladega Nights, I do believe. There's also some really, really bad theology in Talladega Nights. But at one point in the movie, this race car driver, this NASCAR driver, Ricky, he says, if you ain't first, you're last. If you ain't first, you're last. And he's like, oh, laugh that off, man. But you know what? Just think about this. When the disciples heard what Jesus had to say about the last, they're like, wait a second. That's messed up. Let's be honest. This is often how we treat it. If you're not at the top, you may as well be last. You may as well be. And how do we tell who's first? The power, the authority, the stuff, the wealth. If you don't have it, it's very easy to kind of look at the disciples in some of these conversations. Those guys, will they ever get it? Man, over and over again, like you're clueless. Okay. Difficult then, difficult now. Do we get it? Then, to go even to like an even crazier place, y'all, Jesus brings out a child. Now, hey, children were loved then. It wasn't that children weren't loved. But when it came to power and influence, kids didn't have that. Vulnerability, dependence on other people. Jesus said, here's greatness, y'all. You serve the child. Serve the child. Serve the vulnerable. Show them mercy. Show them love. Raul Torres made a choice, you all. He could have chased after that that boy. He could have done that. He could have called the police. And we might say, well, that would have been perfectly acceptable based on what had happened, but he didn't do that. He chose a different way. Gary Morsch is a physician who started an organization called Heart to Heart International. And this is an organization that goes all over the world into places where people do not have adequate health care or medical services. Years ago, when Mother Teresa was still alive, Gary went to visit Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Charity in Calcutta. Before he got there, Mother Teresa passed a note to Sister Priscilla. Sister Priscilla met Gary at the door when he got there. Right this way. They go into the men's ward. Gary thinks, this is where they're putting me to work, right here. They keep going into the women's ward. Gary thinks, okay, this is where I can really use my gifts, put them to use here. They keep going into the kitchen. He's thinking, okay, they're gonna feed me before they put me to work. How nice. They walk through the kitchen, out the back door, into the alley. As soon as he steps out into the alley, Gary says, the stench made me gag. Because there's a huge pile of filth, of trash, of garbage. Sister Priscilla gets two buckets, a shovel, hands them to Gary and says, the dump is a few blocks that way. We need you to get this pile of garbage to that dump. You can't miss it. He's angry, y'all. He is seriously, he's like, they have confused me with someone else. They do not know who I am. I'm here. I'm this amazing surgeon and doctor, and that's what I'm here to do. Oh, no, no. They didn't mess this up. They knew exactly who he was. So he spent the day carrying that garbage to the dump, and he noticed when he got to that dump that there were people there looking through that garbage for anything of value they could find and food to eat. He finished with that pile of garbage. At the end of the day, he is covered in filth and sweat. He goes back in through the kitchen, through the women's ward, through the men's ward, and he looks up and there's this famous quote from Mother Teresa, you can do no great things, only small things with great love. And he said, I realized service is not about the power that you have or the wealth that you have, or the level of education that you have. It's about two things, attitude and availability. Attitude and availability and serving with love. If we had a different idea of greatness, what if greatness was about love and humility and mercy and forgiveness and attitude and availability? That is the kingdom that Jesus, when he said to his disciples, think about it this way, this is greatness. That is the kingdom that Jesus was trying to establish, and we are those disciples today. So may our idea of greatness and the way we live into that greatness, and when we try to be great, may it be as disciples and agents of mercy and love. Amen.